Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
We got I see another call here. I'm going to check and see if this is somebody that might want to be on the panel or someone that's part of the panel. It's a 973 number. It might be somebody that knows you, Andrea. Let me see if this is someone that knows you. Caller, state your name, where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Gwen Carter, and I'm from New Jersey. And you know I'm going to be listening.
Okay.
I love to support Andrea, too. So.
Oh, yeah. And I know Andrea just got through doing another radio show with another friend of mine.
Yeah.
I saw that. And that's
mm-hmm.
great. You got to keep it going. And,
yeah.
and that's what we're about, trying to spread the word and spread the wealth. So Gwen, you know, you can stay online and listen, or we'll bring you back in when we get hot and heavy on questions, because I know my co-host, if he comes in, he's going to be asking all these crazy, erotic questions like he always does. You know, we do have a panel, and Miss Carmen is here as well. I'm waiting on Cotton to come in. I don't know if she's coming in or not, but she should be coming in later on as well. So we thank you for calling in and listening.
Oh, no problem. I love it.
And also, just to let everybody know out there as well, the chat room is available as well if you can't get to it. I mean, there is a chat room, and I know it's been problems trying to get that, but the chat room is out there, and there's a link, and I'm going to see if I can get Carmen to kind of push it out for me as well as I do that as well. So for those who don't want to talk on the line, they can also, you know, put their questions on the chat. We're happy to take those as well. So, you know, that's awesome. So, Andrea,
mm-hmm.
you got all this stuff going on. You got all these movies and all these deals and everything going on, and that brand is getting out there. Just kind of give us tell us, the listeners, how that kind of came about, how you actually got into the literary game. I mean, for those who haven't heard you, you know, you can kind of tell them how you got into it and what's your interest in.
Well, you know, honestly, I can't think of anything else that I would have been. I know I was telling my son earlier today, it wasn't my daughter, I was telling them that initially when I was a kid, I wanted to be a psychiatrist because I always like helping people with their problems. But I think I would have written books regardless, because I just was telling stories from when I was young. You know, I remember being at camp. I remember being with my sister in the room, and she would, if we couldn't fall asleep for whatever reason, she would say, "Tell me a story," because that always, you know, helps to, you know, relax you or something, put you to sleep or whatever. So I was always
exactly.
telling stories. I mean, even when I was a little kid and I was lying, you know what I mean? I was always telling stories. So I just think that it was an innate quality that was, you know, there, and was just, it just had a day and a time, you know, on the calendar when it was just going to manifest itself. As far as, you know, why I write, you know, the interest or whatever, I feel like I have a lot to offer. I think I kind of sat for a little bit, you know, trying to, you know, do the 9-to-5. You know, a lot of us, we have this talent and we sit on it because we just need to survive for today, or we have kids, we got to feed them. And I had done that for so long, and it was a dream deferred for so long. And when I got sick with the lupus and everything, I just felt like, nah, it got to happen. You know what I mean? I cannot, you know, die from lupus or whatever the heck. And I haven't, you know, put a lot of my writings out there, you know, shared, you know, stories. And because all my stories, you know, they have a moral to the story, and they're an antidote for something, some issue or another, if not more than, you know, one. So I just felt like I could not, you know, leave this earth without, you know, putting that out there for people to read. So, you know, that's me and my writing in a nutshell. It was just, it had to be. It couldn't, you know, not happen. It had to happen, you know.
Okay. Well, you know, I always tell people when they ask me that question, I always let them know that, you know, if you're going to get into this game, we call it a game because it's just like any other business, basically, like, you know, in entertainment, especially with music and stuff. It's the same thing, it's just a different product. But the reason why I always, you know, tell people when they ask me about my writing, I always tell them, because you got to get into this thing because you like to do it. Because you're trying to get in here to get rich. You can get rich, but it's going to take a long time. It's not get rich quick.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what you're looking for, then you don't need to do this. Because if you don't like writing and you don't like promoting yourself and making you the brand and not the book, and putting the book out there thinking that it's just going to jump off the shelves, then this is not for you. So
exactly.
I just want to say that. And I go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's not, like you said, the money is not going to come anytime soon. Honestly, I have to keep reminding myself because I start looking at people who are successful and I get mad. Like, it's bad enough that I came late in the business, but it's like, back on. But I have to remind myself that when I decided to finally, you know, go through and, you know, really do this thing, I said to myself, all right, now, you know, you're probably not going to see a nice little piece of money for at least, you know, the first 3 to 4 years. You know, I honestly said that to myself. So now I have to keep reminding myself, like, okay, but don't you remember you said, you know, I have to keep reminding myself. And honestly, you're right, and I wish, I really do pray that people start, you know, really understanding and getting that, because what happens is you get people who want to, you know, get in there and see what, you know, what skills are out there and the creative writing that, you know, could be brought to the table. And then you get some people that come, you remember the old saying, shucking and jiving, you know what I mean?
That's right, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, you get the people who shuck and jive, or, you know, honestly, just to keep it real, it's just, it's, you don't want to waste your money and your time. This is not one of those things. It's like singing. If you don't have a talent, you know, you don't get out there and embarrass yourself. You may do a little karaoke, not karaoke. It's a karaoke, yeah, the karaoke. You may get out there and do a little bit of that, but you don't, you know, get out there and, you know, embarrass yourself on the Apollo and get your little feelings hurt. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I hear
you. Know what I'm saying?
I understand exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's true. And that is true. That is definitely true. So right now I'm going to do this thing. Because I think Robin is here now. Go ahead and speak, my brother. Because I know you're out there. Go ahead. Go ahead, Robin.
Oh, yeah. I was like, who's Robert? I thought you said Robin.
Robin, man. It's like Batman and Robin, brother.
And
you
Robin.
Know, the dynamic duo, you know.
Man,
so go ahead and introduce yourself, brother.
Hey, like, I apologize for my tardiness, but, I was out there making the world a better place. So that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Don't worry.
We have Miss Andrea Clinton, and we also have Miss Carmen, the trashy book diva Jones, and they're both here. And we're talking to both of them right now. We're still waiting on Cotton, but, you know, she was just kind of going through why she loves to write and what it's all about for her. And I know you have some type of a comment or something that you might want to say to that.
Oh, always. You know, and I'm going to just jump off the points that she made. Ultimately, if you ever get into doing something, the number one thing that you have to remember is that you're doing it because you honestly believe that you're better than the people who are currently doing it. And if that's something that you will never, if that's something that you can't believe, then you are clearly in the wrong industry. Because no matter what it is you choose to do, you have to believe that you're better than the people currently doing it. You know, and you have to have that mentality. I mean, you don't want to have it to the point of conceit, but you definitely want to fill yourself with confidence because there will always be people to take you down a notch or they're out there simply to take you down. And you have to have that confidence, and you have to have that slight chip on your shoulder so that whatever they do to you, you use it as motivation to be better and stronger and have, you know, more. I tell people this all the time. If you're going to get into writing, everybody has a story to tell, but not everybody can tell it. And if you're going to tell a story, then at least grow from the first story that you tell. Because if you're not growing, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, we all make mistakes that first time around. And you'll never get rich off that first book. There's probably a handful of people you can count on one hand, really, that have gotten rich off of their first book. It just doesn't happen. It's an anomaly. So, especially as a black writer, what you really have to do is you have to constantly focus on perfecting your craft and becoming better, because as much as you put into the industry, you're going to get out of it. If you're going to half-ass it, then expect, you know, half-ass money in return. But if you're going to put your all into it, you're going to put forth the best product, you're going to go out there and hustle, you're going to make this something that you live and breathe, then you will succeed. You may not be a millionaire, but you will be known, and you will be successful in that right. So, I mean, that's all that I really have to say about that.
Well, Carmen, I know you have a comment that you might want to say before we let Andrea speak, because I know she's going to, when she gets going, she's going. So And there's nothing wrong with that, Carmen. Andrew, I'm not saying that in a negative. I'm saying because I know that you have a wealth of information to bring to the table. But I wanted to let Carmen get in and say something real quick on her experience real fast. So go ahead, Carmen.
I think it's amazing how I kind of had a similar story in that, like, I grew up writing and telling stories, but to let other people come into me, that's not a good way to make a living. So I took a more traditional route, and like you, I have lupus, but I also faced an untimely death of a family member, and it just brought me to the point where I realized life is just way too short. So all of the things that you dream of doing, you can't wait till tomorrow to do them. You've got to go ahead and get started now because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. So I think that that's a good message to send to people, and I applaud you for it. Because, you know, it's risky. It's hard to put yourself out there. People don't understand that when you're a writer, like, this is my baby. This is my craft. So I'm very sensitive about it, and people feel like they can't expect do things or treat it as not important because it's creative and subjective, and this is what we pour our life into. It's a part of ourselves comes out of every book.
Okay, go ahead, because I know you're ready to go. Fire it up.
Are you talking about me?
I sure am.
Nah, I just wanted to add to what the brother said because I totally agree with him. You should come in feeling positive, and what I was going to add was if you can't say to yourself or you can't say to others that I'm better than them or I'm the best, you should at least be able to say that you can get with them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I know somebody who wrote a book, and he said, I wrote it because I felt like if I didn't write it, I wouldn't have wrote it. I know one brother who did it, but when he did it, he did at least get an editor to help out along the way. But I know someone else who did it, and he said he kind of regretted it because he didn't, you know, get help. He didn't take any writing workshop classes or anything. He just put a story out there, and then he lost a lot of money. So, you know, my thing is if you don't know that you don't go for a computer programming job, you know, when you're looking in the paper, because you know you didn't have the training. You know you didn't, you know, take some classes or you didn't, you know, read some books and get some things under your belt, you know. And I think that's the same thing with the writing game. You can't just roll out of bed and then write a book and submit it up on an e-book, you know, just because, you know, you can do it. They actually do it. And it's like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, you can do what you want to do, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. I guess it's just me. I just felt like when I came into it, I mean, like, again, I was going to go to college. I was going to, you know, do all those things regardless. But a huge part of me wanted to, and even right now I'm debating, do I want to get my master's in theater or do I want to get it in creative writing? And I fight with myself because Rutgers has a great creative writing program that I know I would love. But then at the same time, I do want to get a degree in theater, so I fight with myself. But at least I'm talking about trying to get them things under my belt so when I go into it, I'm not always dependent on somebody else asking questions and then they looking at me like, what? You know, who wants to go into something like that? And I try to tell people, you know, master your craft. Go to class.
Yeah.
That's a good example. But they take it like you're trying to hold them back, though. They don't look at it like you're trying to really get good.
Or that you hate
because
they're telling you that you hate. Because, like, not to cut in or anything, but I told somebody this the other day. I said that, you know, they said, well, you know, why can't everybody write a book? I said, that's like me telling you that I've never lifted a weight in my life, but I want to play professional football.
Mm.
You know, you can't do it.
Yeah.
If you don't have a fundamental knowledge of what it takes to be good in the field that you want to pursue, then don't do it. You know, that's like me saying, hey, I want to go to medical school. Well, what qualifications do you have? Well, I didn't play 1,000 games of operation. You know, that don't mean squat. That's not good practice. You know?
Okay, that's just
really
like, there's an author I know, and I'm not going to say his name because I'm not trying to dog anybody, but I'm just going to be honest. This person, they have a couple of books out, okay? And what they're doing is the books are talking about real-life issues, which is not a problem, but he's using real names of people and all this and putting stuff out and all this.
Yeah, that's
and people
a bad
are getting
idea.
Upset. And another thing that he's doing wrong
I know
is
this author.
Another thing that he's doing wrong is he is he doesn't even know how to put the books together, and he gets mad if you don't help him to do it. You know, he gets upset because he can't even put the cover together. He can't do all these things, but he wants to do all this self-published stuff and doesn't want to pay anybody to do anything. So, you know, he wants to just think that you're supposed to just help him so he can tell a story about. Actually, I'm gonna be honest with you. What he's doing, he's kissing and telling. He's out here having sex with these women and he's telling their stories, what he's done to them, and he's actually putting their names and everything out in the street.
Oh,
you know, and I think that's really terrible for him to do that. And, you know, he's doing that, and then he gets mad when nobody wants to support him. I mean, I can't support that. You know, I can't sign you to my company as an author, and you're going to do all this stuff. I mean, well, you know, I mean, well, why would I want to do that? I mean, but this person actually gets upset because you don't, you know, you won't help him in this manner. And, I mean, you know, I saw them a few weeks ago, and they were trying to get me to help them upload their book and stuff to CreateSpace because he didn't know how to do it. He didn't even know how to convert the book into a PDF or any of this. But he wants to go out around and say, I'm this author and I'm this and that. Goes back to what you were saying about, you know, learning your craft and learning how to do this stuff. If you're going to be an indie publisher, then learn how to do those things. Don't just be dependent on somebody else to do it for you, and then you get out there and brag, and then you get out there and you're telling stories about people and slandering folks. I mean, who wants to support that? But anyway, also I want to say this one thing and then I'm going to let it go on. You know, how you were talking earlier about, Andrea, you and DV, how y'all were talking about if you're going to get into this game and you don't think you're better than who you're going against, you know, then why get into it? Well, I was at a – and I felt really good about this. I was at an event a couple of days ago, and some people were saying about my book, they were saying that comparing to what they've read, that I've written and what they've read with Zane, that Zane was elementary compared to what I write as far as my stuff was more at the graduate level. And they didn't mean her type of writing. They were saying because of the explicitness of the erotica that I'm writing, which made me feel absolutely magnificent because that's what you want to do. You want to be better than what was out there. So that's the objective. It's not that you write better. It's just that you want your stuff to be three or four notches higher than what's already out there. And I think that's what you were talking about. And I just, you know, thought of that when you said it. So.
Well, you know, something else I want to add. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just was going to add, you know, a lot of times when somebody else, not to say that, you know, Zane or anybody started erotica, because I don't know who was the founder of erotica, but I'm just saying when
Harlequin.
Someone comes
probably Harlequin, I don't know, anyway.
Yeah. Well, when someone starts something and they, you know, they jump on that train, let's take Richard Pryor, for example. Richard Pryor jumped on that train. He had his sidekick, which was Paul Mooney, and they rode that train right on out, you know, and they are known for it. You know, they were big, and they will always be known for it. But then all of a sudden you have your Martin Lawrence and you have your Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, and they came after, but they're just as darn good. And so it's like, In some instances, you know, some jokes or TV shows or whatever, or movies may have even been better. So it's like sometimes those people who come and they set the plateau, and then other people that come after, if you don't come after and you bring something new to the table, or you, you know, turn it up a notch or go left, right, or whatever, you know, then there's a problem. And then in addition to that, you know, you're a man. You know what I'm saying? So yours shouldn't be parallel to hers. It should have a little spin off to the left or to the right, or, you know, something in addition, or something new brought to the table, or a different perspective. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm done.
And there's a question that came from the chat room real quick before because I know people want to jump in. The question was, do your students know that you are a published author and have your own publishing company?
Yeah, they do. And I feel bad because I used to rob my students, you know, you're supposed to act like this, you should be like that, you should be young ladies. And then in my book, it opens up with, I'll bust you in your mother effing face.
Right. Well, you can cuss on the show. Don't forget, Andrea.
I don't
cuss on here, but I know you don't cuss, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know,
we say that shit on here, just so you know. Hopefully that's not disrespecting you. But, you know, we cuss like a motherfucker on Word Sex Radio. No, go ahead.
Do you. You know, but I don't.
That's
right. You know, and I purposely don't. I don't because, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm human. Let me just say that because I don't want to say, oh, come on. Because I know I got some friends now. If they tuned in because they saw it, I put it up on Facebook. And if they tuned in, they're probably looking at each other like, do you know she just, you know, I'm human. But I don't, you know. It's not my first language. You know what I mean? So, but I have students. Yeah, you know, and I
not
do
mine
have
either.
Students.
I just like using it. Anyway.
But you know, I never know when I'm going to be back in the classroom and I'm going to be teaching. So I try to be real mindful of that. You know, even like on Twitter and Facebook. You know, like I had somebody say to me, you know, while they were in the interview, and they said, well, you know, you have to be professional, you know, when you're on. You can't bring your problems on or whatever. And I'm like, I need to get another name to go under them because sometimes I just want to throw it out to the universe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, but
yeah,
I try to tone it down.
When it comes to, like, kids, it's more do as I say, you know, than what I do.
Yeah.
Because you have, like, when it comes to people who are trying to learn, you know, you have to let them know that they have to understand the concepts first before they decide they want to go ahead and write, you know, whatever it is they're writing. You know, like if I'm going to write a science fiction novel, it helps to have to know two things. It helps to know a little bit about science, and it helps to know a lot about imagination. So, I mean, but these are the things that you have to let them know, because if they just try to put together a science fiction book, it will fail.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are the things, these are the concepts that we have to teach kids. And not even kids, but people who are newbies in the business, so that they understand what it is that's expected from them in order to craft the best book that they can possibly craft.
Exactly. That's why I chose to jump into not just erotica, but I also do paranormal. And, you know, there's not a lot of blacks that admit that they might even write that because of the audience that they're trying to get. But I don't, you know, I mean, there are black paranormal writers out there, but you know, a lot of people, as soon as you tell them about the vampires and this, they shun away. But I'm a writer. I do not write just to African Americans. I write to white people who want to read.
Yeah.
That's who I write to. Okay?
Yeah, and just to jump off something you said, Red, you know, if you're going to write an erotic novel, you have to have your roots in romance. You have to know how to build up an erotic scene, and that's not 99% of that is romance. So if you're trying to put together an erotic book and you don't know a thing about romance, it's not erotic anymore. It's basically porn that you put to paper.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that's what it's become. There's supposed to be an eloquence to erotica. You know? And, you know, as much as people say, you know, it's harsh and it's detailed and it's graphic, yes, but it's supposed to be arousing. If you ever get to the point where it's just, you know, I'm going to yank her hair, I'm going to spank her ass and stick her in the book. It's like, oh, this is terrible.
Oh, my God.
You know,
damn.
It's not supposed to be like that.
Well, you know. The way I write it is, I definitely have a story there. I mean, because when I write my writing, and we're going to get back on Andrew because it's not about us, but what's about Arthur's period right now, what we're talking about? But when I write the erotica that I do, I always make sure that the storyline is more important than the erotica. The erotica piece is, or the sexual pieces that are in there, are just to carry you over from one spot to the next. You know, you don't want to make, I try to make sure that the novels that I write are, if you take all the sex out, that the novel still can hold its own without it.
Yeah.
That's the importance of that. So, but if you can't do that, then you know, if it's all, like you said, then it is porn. And it is a bunch of damn fucking and sex or whatever, and it's nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what?
I'm missing. This is only a three-people conversation. I thought we had four people on this.
Karma is here. She's going to get in. She better. And I don't know what cotton is. So, Karma, what you got to
say? Come on, Karma. I'm a trashy diva. Trashy book.
I agree. I think that too many times people say they write erotica, but they really write it porn, and then it gives the rest of us a hard road to plow, because people think that if you write erotica, you write it because you're not a good writer, and so you're just going for.
Oh, I never heard that before. Damn, is that what they say?
Oh,
okay.
I've heard people
say
that because they think that
they're
like, oh, you're just selling sex because you're not a real writer. I heard other literary writers especially, oh, well, you're just selling sex because you're not a real writer. Well, no, there's a story there, and if you had read it and stopped skipping over the good writing to get to the sex scenes, then you might have realized that.
Yeah.
Well, damn, I wanted to say that about me. Damn. Anyway,
some people deserve that title, though, because there's a few books that I've read that is just straight sex, and it's like there's nothing here but people screwing. I thought there was supposed to be a story. And if it's just going to be a book about people screwing, they call it the Book of Screwing. You know, don't give it some long, drawn-out title with, you know, somebody on the front who has nothing to do with the story.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. Well, that's a whole other subject right there. That's a whole other show. Definitely. Having a cover that has nothing to do with the story or even the synopsis have nothing to do with what's in the book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
wanted to comment on something you said, Red. You were mentioning about how you write the paranormal, and the brother was saying about how he does the sci-fi. I wanted to mention especially about the sci-fi. If you write a good sci-fi book, you know your stuff. You're a writer. Because sci-fi,
right.
I think, is probably sci-fi. It is. It really is. Because, man, you have to know something to even walk into that arena. You can't just, oh, yeah, I'm going to write a sci-fi book. What you going to write about? You see what I'm saying? Who, what, when, where, what, how, what? You just can't walk up in there and not know something. You can't even just say, oh, I want to write a sci-fi book. Where will I start? It just don't work like that.
It's even like that with paranormal, because you got to know the subject and you got to do research on the characters that you're creating in paranormal. Even with vampires, you have to do the research on that. The research of like the incubus or succubus that I wrote, the Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress. You got to get the history of that so you can be able to explain what that is to people that's reading it who may not know what that is. Most of the time, people that pick up that stuff have already been interested in it anyway. So you better know what you're talking about, because if you don't, they're going to say, this is crap. They're going to throw it down because
they
have some history and they know about it. There's a group that's out there that studies incubus and succubus. And if anybody that's listening and don't know what those are demons that actually have sex with men and women, the incubus being the male version of that and the succubus being the female version that come to you. You know how you have these dreams and you feel like you're half asleep and half awake and you feel like you're having sex or somebody's pushing you down? That is actually what is termed having a succubus or incubus that's actually attacking you at that time. So, if you don't have that kind of that background to be able to write this stuff, don't do it, like you said, because you gotta know what you're talking about. And that's the same thing with sci-fi. You gotta be able to create these things. Even talking about the ships that you're using, the spaceships and all that stuff, you gotta be able to have a mind to create this stuff. Because if you don't, you're just gonna fall by the wayside. And before we go any further, let me see if there's a couple of numbers. Now, if I push your number and if you don't have a question, just don't say anything, but don't hang up. We're not trying to get rid of you. We just want to see if you have a question. So we're going to start with area code 908 and see if you have a question. Do you have a question? Say where you're calling from if you do and if you have a question.
No, I don't have a question. I'm just listening for right now.
And we thank you for doing that.
Thanks for
listening. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. One more. We're going to try one more real quick. Let me see. I think we may have spoken to this one before, but it's 862 area code. You have a question? Where are you calling from?
Hello.
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 State your name. Where are you calling from?
My name is Anita Mathis. I'm calling from East Orange, New Jersey. I'm Sister Andrea's longtime friend. I had the pleasure of reading her draft when she written both of the books. She really make you feel like you're part of the community in her writings. And I just want to say I'm very, very proud of her. I am, sis. Another thing I would like to say, my husband always called it soft porn. When I used to read it a lot at one time, there's a sister back in the day named Beverly Jenkins. I don't know if you guys heard of her.
I have. Yes.
And her writing, it actually took her books off the shelf. I don't know why. But she would write mostly in the 1800s. And when she written these books, she gave you a lot of history. One of her books was called Indigo, and she really gave you a lot of black history, which was very interesting to me, and what made me really want to read the erotica books, But again, Sister Andrea, keep doing your thing, Sister. We are very proud of you and East Orange, and the rest of the brothers. I thank you. We also need to hear your side of the story as well.
Yes,
when Michael Basedon first came out, a lot of people were angry at him, but we never get a chance to hear the brother's side of how he feels and what he thinks, You know, so it's a pleasure to have brothers write books and share their thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's all I have
to say.
Well,
we thank you for that.
And,
okay. Well, we thank you so much for calling in and listening and supporting Andrea and as well and the show.
Thank you.
So
love
much.
You.
Love you too. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Okay. All right. So before, I always like to get that because a lot of times we get people that's listening and they may have a little small thing they want to say, and it's good to be recognized and it's good to be appreciated. And she's right. More men need to speak more on the
mm-hmm.
on the issues. And I know Michael Bazin's got a new book out now that he's out touring with, you know, on issues and different things that he's working with. But, you know, I like that, and she said something to me that I really, you know, what she just said a few minutes ago that I like. It was talking to me because, the Peculiar Ones, the book that I did as paranormal, definitely deals with history, and that is my background. I'm a history, I have a degree in history, so I like to write stuff that talks about, you know, something back in the day and bringing it to the future or the present, you know, because if that's one way to get you to learn some history, I'll do that and put some erotic piece to it as well, then that's what I'll do, you know, because, I said, I want to write. I don't want to be just stuck in one thing. You know, a lot of people know Red Snapper as the erotic writer or whatever, but, you know, you want to branch out and do more things, and that's what I try to do. So, and I hear that's what you do. Okay. Now, go ahead. I know somebody had something they was going to say. I know we got it cut off there. Was it you, DV?
Wasn't me.
What
you?
Okay.
I don't recall.
Okay, well, Carmen is definitely being quiet today, and I just don't know why.
Being quiet.
Well, you're not being quiet.
No, I'm listening.
You're soaking it in. Okay. Well, for anybody who has any questions who want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we're talking with Miss Andrea Clinton, who is a phenomenal person. She's an author. She's a publisher. She's a theater person. She's a screenwriter. She wears lots of hats, and she's getting ready to get some plays going. And she has a big S on her chest. That's right. And we're going to be talking about her. and you know what I really like about her and about Carmen as well? Both of these women have a chronic disease that's not keeping them down. And, you know, a lot of people get these diseases and stuff, and I'm not dogging you for those who may have something that's going on with you. But you're not letting this thing stop you from being who you are. And that's why I admire you both, because you both have the same type of, you have the same disease. It's probably a different type of it, each one of you. But, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, I just love, I really admire that you don't let those things stop you from being a creative person that you are. And then we're going to let you go ahead now and kind of get into your play that you got coming out. Okay, so can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's very much in the beginning stages. As I said, I'm converting the book into the play format, my adaptation, and that's what I'm working on right now. And as soon as I'm done with that, it goes from my hands into the producer's hands, and then she has a list of people that she's, you know, going to take it to, and then, you know, they're going to put the money up, and we're going to, you know, try to make it happen. Hopefully, when we come to the table, we can agree to have it, you know, go down in 2012. But, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, the money people play a huge part in when it comes into fruition. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, it goes down like that. But it's about the first book. As you know, the girl, Elisa, is a gold digger, and she likes, you know, using men for the credit cards, the money, the jewelry, and all of that. And I'm hoping to make the play, because, of course, you have to cut out some parts and pull in those, you know, main parts that's going to, you know, get the point across. And I'm praying that we can make it so that it's so to the point of the whole, you know, this is the gold digger. Yes, it looks glamorous and it looks like, you know, you got it going on. And then, boom, it explodes in your face. And now you're sitting around looking like, well, what the heck just happened? Because that's
so
what's
going
on in the book.
How much is that? Are they letting you be part of the creative process of that? Or are you just, because I know you're not selling the rights, but are you just, you're selling them the right for them to make it into a play or into a screenplay? But are they allowing you to be part of that process, or are they, how are you doing it?
I'm just looking for investors right now. Basically, I have the producer and I are also good friends and partners and the whole nine. We have to meet again, you know, because when we first met, it was basically, you know, I'm looking for a couple of producers, and, you know, I need one to do this and this, and I need one to do that. And so she said, okay. But since then, you know, I've gotten to know her much better. I've gotten to see her work. This girl is fierce. She's a radio personality, a broadcast radio personality. Her name is Dee Spencer. When I tell you off the chain, man, I went to one of her plays. She was playing a slave. I couldn't believe my eyes. She was just phenomenal. I wanted to stand up. I said, people going to think I'm crazy. But I just was happy to see that, you know, the person that I'm sitting with, you know, that I'm going to be, you know, working with, she not only knows, you know, stage production and directing and all these other parts of, you know, theater, but she also is a phenomenal actor, so she can even coach the other actors, and she has years under her belt. She's done TV, movies, and, you know, all of these kind of things, so she knows her stuff. So I was just happy to see it. So she's really great, and I'm happy. Now we basically, I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, her as a producer. Now we just need the executive producers, you know, the people who are going to come with the money. And so,
yeah, the underwriters, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's basically what we want, because she's like the full package, and that's why.
Well, who's going to direct? Do you have a director already as well, or is she going to be handling all that, or?
Well, we're going to talk about that. First thing first was the play itself, in the manuscript, and from there, you know, we take it to them, and in between there, she and I sit and talk. But I really would. I think we did talk about her being the director because, again, she's done it all. She's actually the she's a producer of the Virgin Mary monologues, and they travel, you know, across the country. So she knows her stuff. You know, she's overall. She's like that one stop. What do they call that? The pack. What do they call it? One stop shop or whatever.
That works.
Full package. She's the full package. Like, she knows it all. You know, she can probably even tell me, okay, you're going to do this, and this is how you're going to do it. And then I just carry the ball or whatever. But
I think that's going to be nice. And then there's another piece. I'm sure that the musical piece of it is, because I know there's going to be some music or something that's going to be involved in this. And I can see this being a great production. Knowing you and how thorough you are, I just know this is going to be great. And you definitely got to get me some tickets so I can come up there and see it when it comes out.
Oh, definitely.
Out.
For sure.
I'm coming. Okay?
Oh, for
so
sure.
Just
for
know
sure.
That. Okay.
Well,
okay.
You know what? I'm going to invite you, and I'm going to invite two other people to come and bring your show. I don't know how you guys do this with this little radio broadcast, blog talk or whatever, but bring your show, record it, play it, however you got to do it. But I'm definitely going to invite you guys to come out and, you know, participate.
Not a problem. We'll come up and we'll definitely do that. That's not a problem. And also, we'll talk a little later in the next hour, the next segment, about the Kansas City Book Fest that we're going to be trying to put together here in June. So we're definitely putting that together. And kind of like a Harlem Fest, we're going to do it in the Midwest. So we want you definitely to come for that. But I know there's other questions. I know there's other questions from DV and Carmen or something. And I don't understand, where's Cotton? She must have forgot. She slept out on us tonight. But anyway, is there any questions? I'm sure you all have questions. I'm trying to check the chat room and see if there's anything there as well. And so far, there's nothing there. But, you know, this lady is just phenomenal. And I say that because I just know all the things that she's got going. And it's just really, really good to see that and how you cope with everything and raise children and all this kind of stuff at the same time while you're doing all these things. And I just have to, you know, put my hat off to you because it's just great to do that. That you can do that, and it should motivate a lot of people out there that want to do this thing. You know, there's no reason really to stop you. You just got to do it right. We don't just want to throw garbage out there. We want you to do it correctly. This is what we're saying. So, you know, and I had a question I was going to ask, and I lost it just like that. But anyway, I'm getting old again. But but you know, it's just amazing how you do all these things. But kind of tell us a little about this new book that's out. Is it out yet, or is it coming out, or when is it coming out?
All right.
And the name of it and everything. Give us a name. Yeah.
It's A Blessing and a Curse. It was due to come out for the holiday. That idea had to be scrapped due to some unforeseen situation that gave me a 2-day headache. But I can't really go into a lot of detail right now, but it's not going to happen. It's going to probably come out after the first of the year. We have to sit and meet and decide. You know, I'm getting a headache just thinking about it. Because I'm really looking forward to it.
But see, that's the good thing about owning your own company and making those decisions yourself on that. You know, you can, the deadlines can change and all that, and you won't throw out garbage because you want to make sure it's right. And that is part of what I like about being an independent publisher and having my own company, is because those things you can work with and work around. When you work with other companies, nothing wrong with mainstream, and please don't take it that way for those who are interested in that. But my thing is you know, you can work with that when you have your own time and you can make things come out when you want to. So, you know, I think that's really good. I mean, I know you had a deadline when you wanted it, but you had to push it back, and it's going to be just as good then as it is now. So I know, I just wanted to know when you might have that come. So
yeah, it's probably not the first of the year. First of the year probably. And you know what? It's going to be better because, you know, if it did have to come out later, I'm going back at it. Now that I have to wait, I'm going back at it because, honestly, to be perfectly honest, I really felt pushed. I really did, you know what I mean? Because so many things, it was like the snowball effect, like one thing happened and pushed that, and then this happened and pushed that, and it all started with the distributor. The distributor screwed us over out of thousands of dollars. And then we didn't put the book out because we felt like if we put the book out, then he's going to make even more money off of us, and he's not going to send us our checks. So we didn't put the book out. We held out, you know, and then when we fired him, but he just wouldn't accept it. And so we just said, okay, fine, you know what, we'll wait. Like a little kid, we held our breath, and when the contract date was up, that's when we were getting ready to take the book into fruition, you know. But, you know, as, you know, things would have it, it just didn't materialize. We wanted to come out with it, but we ran into another brick wall. So we were advised by someone long and respected in the business to just hold out. You know, when it happens like this, hold tight. So, you know, I can't go into a lot of details, but we just said, okay, fine, and we don't have no choice. But I'm like a kid with my lip poked out because, you know, I had a lot of people waiting. We had, you know, some pre-sales, a nice number of them. And I was all set and ready to go and gear it up, but whatever. I just sucked it up. And like you said, when it's your business, you know, at least you can, you know, toggle things the way you want them to go. So right now, that's what we're basically doing. We're just putting those, you know, energies into some other stuff, you know, to make it happen. And when the time comes, it's going to come out. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you are looking, like I said, the first book. I'm glad with the success of it and how it's going forth. And, you know, you're making things happen, getting the right contacts and all of that as well to, you know, make it into a play and get it into to another avenue or another media where people can actually see it. And, you know, I think that's really good. And for some reason, I feel like you, I don't know, maybe this is not something you want to do, but I just feel like you're going to have some type of magazine as well. I don't know why, but I just feel like that you're going to be something competing with Ebony or something, or Essence or something like that.
Oh, that would be lovely. That would be lovely. Honestly, though, I wouldn't mind competing with them, but I for sure, not to say that I could, but I definitely wouldn't want to put them out of business or anything like that because I still
would love
them. That's like trying to go toe-to-toe with Oprah. I wouldn't even want to do it. I just want to, you know, get mine too, you know? You know,
exactly,
but,
and it's enough out there for everybody, and those that are interested in writing, just so you know, you don't have to do the crab mentality of this. A lot of people think that we have to step on others and stop them from reading, but, you know, once they read your book, I mean, they're going to need something else to read, so why not read mine? You know, it's enough out there for everyone. You know, you put all our books in one, I think we said this before, you put all the books in one bookstore, people are not going to, I mean, they have a choice to read everything, so what's the whole problem with that? I just don't get it, but... You know, some people feel that, you know, they got to step on you and stop you from getting the success. But that's it. I don't know why. But anyway.
The thing they have to realize is that an avid reader can read a book in 1 to 2 days. My mother is an avid reader. She'll dust a book, let it be good, 24 hours. And I'm like, I mean, she won't talk to you. She won't look at you. You can call her till you turn purple. She won't answer. And that book will be done by this time tomorrow. And so, you know, then the next day she's looking around. I'm like, what are you looking for? She's like, you don't have nothing to read, you know. And this is just her. The avid reader's like that. And they'll find their way to Barnes & Noble or the local bookstore, and they will find something else, you know. So it is enough. It's enough that they'll read you on Monday to Tuesday, meet with the Thursday, him Thursday to Friday. You know what I mean? It's not, we don't have to be choking each other and tripping each other to try to hurry up and put our books up on the shelves.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do is, you know, you're right about that. I mean, what I was going to ask was this question, but I'm going to wait to the next segment on this one to ask that. But Well, you're right. It's absolutely right on that. I mean, it's plenty out there. And now we kind of touched on this a little bit about people writing and throwing books out there or whatever because of the technology and now getting books out there. Anybody can basically put something out, whether it's good or not. You know, it's the thing. But, you know, of course you want to make sure that what you put out there, you want to put the best you can out. You don't want to just throw something out there. But my thing is with Kendall and all that, what do you think about the hard copies? I was going to wait, but I'll go ahead and ask you this, and then we're going to get a song in. Kendall's hard copies. You think that the hard copy book will eventually be gone?
No, it's never going anywhere. It's not going anywhere because honestly, I think that the ebook is going to have a good run. But I think, let me tell you a couple of things on two ends. Excuse me. All of us authors are going to end up getting together because we're going to get tired of the 99 cent. The publisher, even if we're the publisher, we only get 35% when we sell it for 99 cents. And then
right.
of the 35%, the author pulls in anywhere from 10 to 25% of the 35 cents. You see what
right.
I'm saying? We're going to get
right.
tired of that. That's pennies. That's a slap in the face. And it's to me, it's an insult. You spend all that time to make sure that you master this book, trying your best to get it to perfection, and someone reduces the cost to a dollar, and then Amazon, on top of that, well, did I really say that out loud? But certain people.
What was that name, Amazon? I think that's what you said. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's what you said.
Yeah. Or certain people, be it them or whoever, you know, they reduce the 99 cent to 35, you know, cent, and then again, you as the author only get a fraction of that. That to me, that's too much. You know what I mean? And it's like, don't
right.
get me wrong, you get in where you can fit in. Okay, fine, I'll go ahead and do the ebook because I was one of the ones who was holding out. I don't know if you knew about it or if you were part of it, but there were a group of us who were holding out on the whole ebook thing because we were like, no, because what's going to happen is we're not going to make any money. We're going to make pennies. And then I got in and I tried to make the book the same cost of the paperback, didn't sell a book. Then when I reduced it to 99 cents, the book started selling. Then it started doubling. Now they're almost tripling. But it's still nothing. It's a slap in the face.
But, so let me tell you this real quick. I'm doing mine right now because of the holidays and because of the economy. I started back in late October, and I'm going to do it all the way to the end of the year, 99 cents for any one of my books. But, you know, back in the first of the year, they're going back up to $2.99, $3.99 or whatever. But then again, I'm the publisher, so all the money comes to me anyway. So, I mean, it's just, you know, but I understand what you're saying. When they do that, you know, and you go through a mainstream person or whatever, a lot of times they try to sell them books for $10 or whatever, you know, and it's just like, just so they can make some money and hopefully the author can get something out of it. But you're right. I mean, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't, really, on that. And you just have to do that. And I was only doing that because I wanted people to get my work out there so people can read it.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now
that's
they're making lots of dollars. And that's what's happening. I'm making some money, you know, with the Kindle stuff. And if they don't like it, then they didn't lose nothing. You know, I mean, I still get paid. They can dog my book or whatever. But, yeah, they're going back up, though, in the first 3 years. So just so y'all know that's listening. But, you know, I think it's a good thing. But like you said, I don't know if it's going to last forever. Because some people just love, like me personally, even though, you know, that electronic stuff is out there, I still like to hold a book that I've written that, you know, in my hand and say, yes, this is something that I created. You know, I like that. It's, you know, the electronic stuff is good and everything, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. It'll be there for a while. It'll have a good run, just like anything else. To me, it's like Beta. You remember when Beta came out and you had VHS and Beta, and then Beta was around and it died out for a while because it was too early, and then now they got the DVD, which is really the Beta, or not really Beta, but, you know, they used to have those big, what do you call it? It was like it was the same size as a 33, the laser disc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was out for a while. It didn't work at the time that it came out because it was too ahead of its time. But now you got them. They made them smaller, and now it's more easier to produce them because a CD doesn't cost that much to make now. I mean, you can
That's
even
right.
make a CD on Amazon through CreateSpace, you know, put your music out. But when it came out at that time, it wasn't good. So you don't think that this might have that kind of run, maybe?
I think that the e-book, it has a long way. Well, I won't say a long way to go. Let me just tell you what I compare it to. I compare it to when the internet came out, people were hacking like they lost their mind. Companies were battling. Like, a lot of people didn't realize it, but Microsoft and AOL had a battle going on for a long time. I mean, I'm surprised you remember, because a lot of people, when I tell them, they go, really? You know, but I remember that. Yeah, I only knew because the tech guy from when I worked at Rutgers, the tech guy was very, we and him were really close, and he was explaining to me the war that was going on. But, you know, basically, they, I'm talking, when you get online, one of them would knock the other one out, and just a whole bunch of crap. Then you had people going into people's bank accounts. Then you had, I hate to say this because I'm not talking about a particular people, but you had the whole African scam going on when they would come on and say, oh, you know, you're my lost cousin, you got $1 million or whatever.
But
you
that's still going
number.
On, though.
Yeah,
I mean, all
it
that
is.
Stuff still happens.
It is.
Yeah.
But it started way back then. And so, like, all of this stuff, actually, it's going on now, but I'd be so surprised if somebody get their account broken into at this point, after so long of this scam going on. But it was just so much stuff. It was crazy, and nobody knew. Like, they said, you know, the internet is getting out of control. I mean, if you remember that, when they were saying it was going to happen.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, and there's still not a lot of control over the internet. There's still not a lot of laws that control things that go on with it, and they're still trying to work that. But you're right, I remember that, and that's one of the reasons why Microsoft had to split their company, because they had the monopoly of the software and the hardware at one point, and that's why they had to make two different companies out of that, because of what went down with that. So yeah, I do remember that, and it was a big thing, and you know, Bill Gates was, you know, he was just trying to just keep it, you know, But you know, they ended up making a whole other company that does the software separate from the hardware and all of that. And it's all because of that AOL and all that stuff that was going on. You're absolutely correct.
It was a big war, but that's what's going to happen with the ebook. The ebook is going through. It was just born, it was born for a little while ago. But it's just huge. Every country is, you know, has a Kindle or a Nook or a Sony, whatever. And you know, it's kind of like a little all over the place. And eventually, you know, people, so many complaints are going to come in to where somebody's going to lobby, and then somebody's going to step in from the government and say, okay, we're going to have to get this under control, and then some things are going to be placed into order. So I think that's what's going to happen with some of the things that are a little out of control with the ebook. And there's so many different ways there. With the reader buying, with the person buying it and then buying the books, reading it, for them, it's not a big issue. I bought it, I buy my books, I read. But for us, the publisher, and us, the author, it is. And what I mentioned is it's the main part of it. But it's going to get put under control because it's too out of control right now. The whole pricing control is getting ready to happen. They're going to get to the point to where, because, you know, for a long time I couldn't figure it out. You may have known, but I could not figure out why is it that if you charge 99 cents, that you can get 35%, but if you charge $2.99, then you can get 70%. And I couldn't figure it out, and then it finally hit me about a month or two ago. I asked every author under the sun. I asked every publisher. Nobody said, I don't know, it just is what it is. I said, no, there's something to that. You don't just do stuff. There's something to it. And I finally figured out what it was. If they were allow you to get 70% on that 99 cents, then they would only get 35, and they don't want that little amount. But if they make the minimum price $2.99 and say, okay, now you can get the 70%, they'll take the 35 because at least they will still get a dollar or more per book. So that was the rationale behind it. And it took me a minute. And so I said, okay, so bingo, that's where, because I couldn't understand. If you tell me, okay, you got a choice, choose 35 or 70, of course I'm going to choose 70%. So why would you do that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I finally figured it out. But anyway,
well,
that's going
to
change.
What I'm going to do right now, and I hate to cut you off because I know you're getting it, but we're going to have 50 more minutes to work with here, and I think Cotton just came on. But what I'm going to do is we're going to do a quick intermission. We're going to have a song real quick by Jill Scott, and after that we're going to get back into this. So that's what we're getting ready to do right now. Okay?
You're going to hit a crazy turn. Let me take Yes, Andrea Clinton, and she's doing her thing on the show.
Yes, and we're back now. This is Word Sexy Radio as we bring it back to you. As we were talking earlier in the first segment, we were talking to Miss Andrea Clinton, and we also have Carmen, the Trashy Book Diva Jones, and DV Hint. And I think we had Miss Cotton for a second. Are you here?
I am here.
Okay, so where have you been, baby? You missed the whole hour.
I had an important call that I had to do. I do apologize.
Don't say no more. That's it. If that was it, that's what was going on, that was going on. Say hi to Andrea.
Hi, Miss Andrea.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Right. Hey, man, and DV.
And Miss Trashy, are you still there, Miss Trashy Lady?
I'm on here. Hey, Cotton.
DV, here, let me see. I think DV, let me see. DV, are you here?
Can you hear me?
I got you now, man. You got all these ones on here. There was a couple of numbers that had all these ones, and I know which one was you.
I'm over a friend's house because I can't get a signal out of here.
Not a problem, brother. We understand. Well, everybody's on the line right now, and we got this second segment of Word Sexy Radio going on right now, and we got Miss Andrea Clinton, and she's doing her thing and telling us about the game and what she's going through and how she's making it in her thing. And we're just learning a whole lot right here. And we got Carmen, who's soaking it in, and she's saying a few things, and we got the chat room going, and we got DZ, who's being the nigga he always is. And Now we got Miss Tardiness. The spoken word is here now, though. I ain't going to dog her because she said she was doing something busy.
Tell us. You retardiness.
Well, no, I didn't say retard. Don't even put words in my mouth.
Miss Cotton, you're not going to try to ride on Miss Cotton. You lace yourself. You still got to find the pay. So watch yourself, bro. Watch yourself.
Did she say what I thought she said?
You know what? I don't want to have to get up in you this week.
We both know that's not true. You do.
I'm sorry. In my world, that's the truth.
Andrew, just so you know, there's always a feud with this panel going on between the women and DV. Because they don't fuck with me like that. They only fuck with him, okay? I just want you to know that. So that's what goes on here.
I like how you just sidestepped that one. I lied up.
Well, I had to.
I appreciate all the love and support.
Have they ever jumped me? Ladies, have you ever messed with me? I haven't done anything to you, have I? They're being quiet.
Excuse me? Hasn't done anything to us either, but that doesn't stop us.
So it depends on what y'all want to do at the time, I see. Okay. Now, you know there's three women against me and you.
It's not just DV anymore, huh?
Well, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I gotta support you, brother. Now, look, do you have the questions for Miss Clinton?
Well, like, because we had spoken to her previously, you know, and I kind of know her mind state and her mindset, it was just kind of one of those things where, you know, I enjoy. You know what? She's one of my favorite people when she comes on. Because
yes, she is.
We agree on a lot of things, and the reason, and it's just to me it's just common sense, you know, and like that's how I approach things. Does it make sense to do it or does it not? You know, so like I was listening for like the last 10-15 minutes about you guys talking about Kindle and you know eBooks and things like that, and you know sometimes when you go to book, you know, you go out to sell your book, you know, people are real quick to dismiss you. Like I buy my books from Kindle. And, you know, I do this every time, and I sell books every time I do it. I simply tell them, do you support Kindle or do you support black business? And so they kind of look at you like you said something that struck a nerve. I said, because ultimately when you buy from Kindle, you know, these 99-cent books, the authors make 30 cents off of each mm-hmm. book that you buy. I said, so essentially what you're not doing is you don't care about the author, but you care about, you know,
your
the business.
Reads.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I said, and right now you have an author right in front of you. I said, you have an author right in front of you. In fact, usually I'm around a bunch of authors. And I said, and we flew in from City X to be here to sign these books for you. And, you know, to help so that you can support black business. Everybody talks about, you know, they talk about it, but they never be about it. You know, mm-hmm. we're here to sign these books for you, you know, charge $8, $9, $10 or whatever the price may be. And we'd love your support. You know,
mm-hmm.
because when you look at it from that aspect, you know, there's nobody who likes supporting the man. So when you have people who are struggling right in front of you, and, you know, it doesn't matter that, you know, that they have a physical book. You know, it's $10 you're supporting businesses, because if I sell 100 books today on Kindle, I made $30. If
mm-hmm.
I sell 100 books, you know, to you, to people who are moving around, even if I sell them at $5 a pop, it allows me to move on to the next city and, you know, and sell my books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean,
brother,
essentially what you're doing
is
supporting
right
the dream.
I'm bowing to you right now because all that's good. And that's a good way to segue to get away from the questions. I thank you for giving us that because, you know, that is very good information that you have given us. And but I do know that you got away from the questions because you don't want to ask Ms. Andrew those questions, which is good. But anyway, we know that's the reason why he was doing it. And Andrew, so you know, so we don't want you to think that we're treating you different than anybody else. But there are some questions that we ask some authors that are explicit, and we know you're not that type, because you got on here and you talked shit on here before, and you gave us some good information before. So, but for some reason, DV has forgotten that, and he's respected you
what?
To a point that he doesn't want to ask you. So we're not going to go there. But we got 45 minutes.
You amaze me. You're like, DV ain't got no questions, so we ain't going to ask you no questions. I appreciate that.
Well, we're not.
I feel so isolated and vulnerable. You
heard
don't
me. Be like said in the damn. It's not like that. But anyway, we just wanted to, you know, because we do learn a lot from you. I mean, every time you come on the show, and even when I talk to you offline, you give me mm-hmm. so much information. And I'm going to say this because we got authors on here as well, and those that might be aspiring to be authors. You know how you told me about the brand and how when I did, even with one of my books. You know, you saw the cover and you told me, you gave me some good information. And I'm going to tell you, she is a person that really wants to help others to get ahead. She told me on the book Productive Company, you know, I put on there Word Sexy Publishing Presents. And she told me, what is the brand? Is the brand Word Sexy Publishing or is it Red Snapper? And the brand is Red Snapper. So it should have been Red Snapper Presents or should have been something of that nature because nobody's going to remember the publishing company. And a lot of these companies do that.
Yeah.
They put the publishing company on there, and she said, you need to put the brand is you, just like with Zane, the perfect example. Zane puts a book out. She may not have wrote the book, but she put Zane Presents on it. People are going to buy it because they see her name on the book, and it might be garbage. But they're going to buy it because her brand is Zane.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So you remember telling me that?
Yeah, I remember. I remember. I was
going
to smile when
you
said it.
That's right, because I listen to what you tell me because you know what you're talking about. So, you know, it's
you
know, you got people out there that learn and they go through trial and error and they find out things and they don't hold it back. And that's why I try not to hold back because I want to help people to get ahead as well. But you got a lot of people out here who will learn stuff and won't tell you shit because they want to that crab mentality. They don't want you to know about it because they think that if they tell you, you're going to sell more books than them and they worried about it. When everybody got to read more than one book anyway.
Exactly.
I know. That
you know
was just
what?
Something that hit me. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
But, you know, a lot of people share information with me. I do get some that kind of hold back. They give you, you know, a pumpkin seed, and then they hold back the whole pumpkin, you know. But I do know a lot of authors and author publishers who do share a lot of information with me. One thing I do most of them do, they will tell you enough and then tell you the book you can read or the place you can gather the information. And I appreciate that because once I get it, I'm going to save it and keep it on my computer so I can refer to it whenever because, you know, my memory is shot. It's 3 seconds long. So, you know,
right.
If you tell me where to get it, I'm going to save it. You know what I mean?
There's nothing wrong with that. If they're giving you some kind of information, but you got
yeah.
some that will look at you and won't tell you nothing, you know,
yeah.
and they'll just let you fall. you know, they'll just let you fall over. And, I think it's just kind of messed up. And I'm not trying to degrade or hurt anyone or say anything bad about anybody that's out there. But, you know, we're all in this together. Just like you said, we're going to get together one day. The authors are going to get tired one day. They're going to stop crab mentality, and they're going to be like, well, let's get this shit together, and we can really build on this and do something perfect to help each other out, and we can all make money. Because it's
enough in my lifetime that ain't happening.
Okay, here we go. This is what DB does. I want you to know, Andrea. This is what he does.
Because you know what? We've created such a me, my, and mine mentality that, let's be honest, we may not see that in our lifetimes. You know, because that, like, I was watching this one parody, and actually I was watching, it wasn't a parody, it was Boss. I was watching this TV show Boss. And so they had all these, you know, Hispanics getting together, and they were talking about anomalies, you know, how every sport has a specific uniform. They all started out crazy and stupid, but they grew into, you know, what fit and what worked. They grew into a community. And so then they started talking about people, and they said, well, black people are the exception to that rule because they don't form together as a community. And so even though, you know, it was a TV show and they were talking in caricatures, it really made you think. As a whole, we don't think like a group. And a lot of us are thinking me, mine, and mine. You know, because even the richest of us would turn their back on the community in a heartbeat. Yeah, they'll have a little foundation, but they think of it more of a tax break than actually helping people. And the only reason why a lot of our wealthy, especially athletes, go out and help people is because they're under obligation by the sports that they play for. So, I mean, until we get into that mindset that we genuinely want to help each other and we genuinely not just support each other financially, but support each other on the basis that, look, you know, I don't mind spending my weekends helping people out and doing for others instead of myself, then we always going to have this type of mentality where it's just me, mine, and mine.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't see that happening in my lifetime.
And I can't, I'd be lying if I tried to make it seem like I believe that we shall overcome. I don't think we're going to overcome. You know what I mean? I don't think that, I mean, not to, I don't want to, you know, make myself sound like whatever, but honestly, I don't think that we're going to overcome. I think that we're going to always have Uncle Tom's. I think we're going to always have, you know, those people who are going to still be in the field and be complaining about those who do make it to the big house on their own. You know, and I think we're going to have those that are going to be in between. I agree with you 100% because, for one, it's been going on too long. I thoroughly believe in the whole Willie Lynch syndrome. And I honestly believe that so much of it has happened for so long that it is embedded in our brain. I think the best of us, I mean, those with the best of intentions, nice hearts, kind hearts, I think the best of us are still victim to, you know, a lot of the leftover milk or whatever from slavery, you know what I mean? I just feel like, you know, it's just in us. I know some people, like different races, they say, you know, I'm so sick of you guys talking about slavery or whatever. They can say what they want to say, but it is what it is. You know, you do something to a race for so many hundreds of years, and then you, you know, wonder why they are the way they are. If they would have held Jews down the way that they held us down after their, you know, so many years under Pharaoh, or after their, so, you know, many of them being killed from Hitler, if they were held down the way we were held down, they'd be in the same position, but they weren't. They were, oh, they were Jews, are smart, oh, they knew. So, you know, they opened up opportunity and they used them. But what happened was they were smart enough that they allowed you to use them, but then they used you too when they rose above, and now y'all need them. You know, but you didn't give us those opportunities. You felt that we wasn't worth nothing but pack mules. We was just, you know, I hate to say it, but a bunch of niggas. You know, all we good for is labor, and that's what you used us for. And every time we tried to get above, you let some of us get above. You know, you play these mind games. You make us even to this day think that we're free. And then the whole time, you're constantly oppressing us. You know, the best of you will try to give us a little out, you know, feel bad for us and help us and everything. But the worst of you still pin us down. And then of our own people, we will still just, you know, instead of trying to rise above and help and, you know, kumbaya, whatever, we want to believe that, you know, the only way we're going to get it is to step on somebody to get it. We're so hungry that we're selfish and we're mean and evil. And sadly, only to each other, because we ain't touching none of them up there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
It's gonna. He's exactly right. It's gonna always be like that. The only thing that I try to do is just be, you know, some type of help, and try to help those that, you know, I come into, you know, I come around, or I happen to see, or whatever. Because I know I'm
right.
not going to make that much of a change, not for the entire race. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Well, this is what I want to do right now, because we got Miss Cotton now, and she was supposed to be our other guest that we're going to be interviewing this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? She's going to get all the questions she wanted to ask all everybody else. So, DV, I'm sure you got questions for Miss Cotton and Carmen. I'm sure that you have questions for her as well. And, yeah, well, we do. Well, we want to ask the questions like, you know, how you was on the hot seat last week, and then I was on the hot seat, I guess, last month. Now it's Miss Cotton's turn, and Andrea is going to be here to listen to it. How about that? So, let me start it off. Because we've only got about 35 minutes, and I want to give us some time for Andrew to tell everybody how to get her book and everything. So, Ms. Cotton, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, so my first question to you, I'm going to say it in my most sensuous voice. Why are you so sexy?
Oh, God. Get a room.
the best answer I got, I don't think that I am. I really don't think that I am. Whatever I have, it was God-given, I have to say that.
Well,
so.
I still can talk to you, and you got my ex-wife's name, and I still can talk to you, so it must be some sexual something there that's keeping me involved, so.
I don't know. Maybe it is that soft sexual side.
Okay,
how did you get into poetry?
Oh, DV, want to go? Oh, yeah. All right, well, what did you say, DV?
I said, you have just reached 1-900 word sexy.
Yes, okay.
Now, 399 a minute if you're listening.
And here's another question. How did you get into poetry, and why are you so sensuous about it?
You know what? Honestly, I've always had this soft-spoken kind of a voice, unless you really piss me off and then it goes up a little bit, but then it's still not as bad. But I've always had it, so I didn't know what I was going to do with it. And honestly, I went to some poetry events and I said, you know, why is everybody so angry? You know, a lot of the women sound angry about some man that did something to her. And apparently either she ain't let go or that piece is just really powerful and she's still angry. But
yeah, because I went to one last night when this girl was talking about why y'all mad at me because I'm a lesbian. I mean, I don't know. Doesn't matter to me what you do. You know, I mean, I don't give a fuck. But anyway, go ahead.
The thing about poetry is more personal. So you can write a novel and it could be fiction. But with poetry, it's got to come from somewhere. When you're doing that, because it becomes more personal, because it comes from some type of experiences, whether it be yours or somebody else's. So I started to do 1-800. You know, people would call my phone and say, "Girl, you sound like a 1-800 number. I thought I was calling." I said, "You know, so
1-800 get some."
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 1-800. Instead of going home, I said, "You know what? I could do some poetry," because I was already writing, so I figured I would then do something different that most women weren't doing, and that was using my sexuality, my sensuality, to get a point across. And I've literally had women tell me that if the opportunity arose, they would definitely try, and the men were already
try what?
In.
Try what?
So,
try what?
You tell.
Try what? What they trying to do? They're trying to get with you.
Yeah.
They want to get. Okay, now Andrew, we're gonna get a little nasty. So please don't hang up, okay?
Hey, what do you say? Come here.
You heard? You've been on Word Sexy Radio before. You know how we do. You know how we
do,
right?
I know.
Okay. All right. So what the hell they want to do? Now we ain't gonna get into that right now. Well, this next question.
Because I know
DV is got something for you, but why is it that you got stalkers that be calling you and trying to get with you after you get your poetry going on?
Well, Oh my God, they don't know no better. I think me and Carmen talked about this on one of the other shows where it's an illusion. Men really honestly believe that I'm this woman that they want. And
but
I
talk to them.
Yeah, eventually I'm gonna have to move to a gated community because I just don't. Somebody's gonna eventually get my information.
I like that.
So.
I keep hearing that song. I like that. I keep hearing that. That voice. Okay. I'm gonna have to play that tonight a little bit. Okay, look. Go ahead, DV, because I know you got a couple. And then I know Carmen's got a couple of questions. And Andrew,
like,
you have
know
a
what?
Question.
We
can ask yourself, baby. Go ahead.
We need to let
you want
women
to do it?
Cause, you know, yeah, because I'm still crafting some stuff.
Okay. Well, Carmen, are you there, baby?
Are you still crafting some stuff? Is that what you did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait
That's
till
what
your
he
turn.
Said. That's what
I'll
he said.
Wait till
so,
your turn.
So go ahead and ask Miss Cotton. You got a couple of questions for Miss Cotton?
I sure do.
No?
Miss Cotton, I love the poem that you read last week. How long did it take you to write that?
What, the
she
piece
said
that
that's
I
so
last
sexual?
Week?
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You said the piece that
I'm
I did
sorry.
Last week?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the piece you did last week.
Was that the one with DV?
Yeah, the one that DV thought was him and he got all.
I don't remember.
I would say he got hard or whatever and all that. Yeah.
You know what? You know what?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Andrew,
actually,
please don't. You can come back on the
no,
show. We won't
no,
do
you.
We won't do some. Okay,
no,
okay,
do
okay.
You.
Okay.
Don't
come
mind
on.
Me, do you?
Okay.
So, actually, most of the pieces I write probably take me maybe about 10 minutes, maybe 15.
10, 15 minutes.
Some of them are thoughts that I write down while I'm driving, and then I finish them up when I get a chance to sit.
So how do you fuck these dudes up with that, though? I don't get it. I just, you know, they get all toe up when they hear something that you wrote that took you 10 seconds to do. And you know, are you that sensuous and so sexual that you can just throw some shit out like that and then they'll just, like, fall over?
I think I'm that sensual because I love romance and I love romantic things, the intimate things. And I could talk about relationships and sexuality and sex probably that's respectable definitely in a lot of detail, you know. So that's kind of where it comes from. A lot, because I'm single. For anybody, I'm single. I live alone.
Oh,
I don't have
see, there you go, there you go. Letting everybody know what's up so they can stalk your ass. I'm telling you.
A lot of times people think that you're in a relationship, that's how you're able to write like that. I'm not. So I write like that for the simple reason of I would like to have what I'm talking about, some of what I'm talking about. And then some of it just comes from some of my experiences, not a lot of it. But, you know, it's just a lack.
Don't let her fool y'all. She's getting hers. There's some making a man or something. Trust me.
He sounded like it was inspired by, like it was a reminiscent piece. You know what I mean? Like you were remembering an old lover.
Right. Right. The love that never was.
Dang.
It's
the love that never was.
Because you know what's so crazy is that.
I'm gonna write that as a title.
I have yet to be in a relationship with a man that was actually in love with me. Wow.
Wow.
Do tell.
Wait. Have you ever
climaxed
a man that didn't love you? Yeah.
No, I didn't say they didn't love me because they all loved me. They weren't in love with me. There's a difference because that in love keeps you from cheating. That in love
keeps you.
Andrea, you can come in on this one. Andrea, come in because I know you know the answer. Come on, baby. Come on.
No,
come on,
sorry,
Andrea.
I really didn't mean to jump in there like that. It just flew
out
of my mouth.
No, you got to. You got to.
I'm sorry, because I really, you know what, I wanted to, you know, get some talking with Carmen and get some talking with Cotton, and I just been, you know, kind of running it, so I apologize, sisters. on that. I kind of sort of disagree with it. I think men cheat just because, you know, it's in their nature to just want sex, to just, you know, crave something new, something different, and you can only do with so many positions, but you could probably do hundreds of girls. I think it's somewhere along that line. And I think, I'm sorry, but I think sexually, I think that they're weak. I think we could hold out. We could go, you know, years and months, you know, without having sex or being in a monogamous relationship. And I just think that with men, I don't think that they can just do it. I think some are better than others, but I don't think that a man can hold out without sex or can, you know, just be that strong. I don't think it. I think they could love you to death, be in love. Oh, that's my boo. That's my baby. You know, I'll kill somebody over her. I'll buy her anything. I'll give her the world. Where she at? I can't breathe without her. I think that men get like that as well. But I just think.
But they still fuck around. As I know from my being married 3 times and all that, I mean, that happens.
Yeah,
you can be in love
I,
with your
I
wife,
so.
But you still fuck somebody else. It happens.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know why. I don't call that love. I don't call that love then. Because
you don't want it to be. Remember, women are women are feelings and men are, well, what? Women is about emotion. Men are physical.
I'm not asking
so
you
can look, you can, it's just the way it is. And I'm not saying you're supposed to accept it. I'm just saying that a lot of times we can be in love with 2 women at one time, or we can be into something and still do something with somebody else, and it don't really mean the same as it does for a woman because it's emotional for
not
you.
In,
us,
it
isn't.
Not in love.
So you say it's
I,
not
I,
in love.
I disagree with everybody
no.
entirely.
I feel like this. Wait, I feel like this. If you were really in love with me, I feel what Cotton is saying because I feel like if you were really in love with me, no matter what was being offered, I would think, first of all, you want to know me well enough to know that if I find out it's your ass, I'm gone.
Okay, which is it? Is it his
ass,
or
finish,
are you going?
Let me finish. If so, with that thought in the back of your head, I know the woman I got at home, and I know how Carmen is, and it's a wrap. Why, if you were really in love, you wouldn't take the chance. If you can't breathe without me, if you can't
exactly.
breathe without me, then you're going to be like, well, I do this.
See, and that's
I know
why I said that, because a lot of people don't know. A lot, some men and women don't know the difference between love and being in love. And I know some men that are in love with their wives or their girlfriends, and they wouldn't do anything to jeopardize that. Because the thing is that you're in love with them enough that you don't want to hurt them, because you don't want to lose what you know you have at home. Now
but
I can
see,
love
you
all day.
I disagree
because you love me. You're going to take your behind out there and love the next person, and you're going to love the next person, and you're going to never love the next person. But when you find that one that you're in love with, nobody else matters. I don't care how much you love the last woman, the one that you're in love with, she gets everything, everything.
I kind of disagree with everybody, and I'll tell you why. I think the term in love is a misnomer, simply because everybody wants to give an excuse as to why, what the difference between love and in love, when love by its very definition means sacrifice. If you love somebody, that means you are willing to sacrifice the things that you think you want in order for what you have.
Mm.
So that is, you know, you can't love somebody and say, well, you know, I love you, but I'd rather sleep with somebody else, because that's not sacrifice. You're not sacrificing anything. You know, you're basically giving in to your whims. So once that happens, it's not a sacrifice. It's an indulgence. You know,
okay,
and love doesn't mean
indulgence. I think Andrea has something to say. Go ahead, Andrea.
But wait. Let me go ahead and knock this out. But I do believe that, like, and I am one of those men where I am a strictly one-woman type of guy. I cannot see myself being like, and I told you guys this. You guys asked me, and I said I have never cheated with a woman that I because, and I see that, as the ultimate disrespect if I do something behind somebody's back. And to me, respect is one of the most, trust and respect are one of the most crucial and vital components in my life. You know, and I know a lot of guys like myself. I know a lot of guys not like myself, but I am just one of those people where my parents raised me that those trust and respect and honor are the 3 major components that every man, it should be at every man's core. And if you don't have those things, you can't really call yourself a man. So because that's how I live my life, you know, believing in these values, you know, I don't step outside the boundaries of relationship. You know, if I'm with somebody, I can be 100% committed and not even consider being with anybody else, not think about it. It's not even
as long as they let you have a threesome, it's okay, right?
It's not even so much as that. Like,
behind
that,
her back,
but what I'm saying is that, you know, it's a part of my life, you know, but it's not a requirement. You know, I goof off and I'm silly and I say those things. But if I met somebody who was like, I'd never do a threesome, that's not something I'm part of, and I find out that we are, you know, that we connect on that level, I would gladly sacrifice that because that's what love is. Love means that
I sacrifice compromising. That aspect. Sacrifice, compromise, whatever word you want to use.
It's not compromise,
you know,
if it's love. Compromise is simply saying, well, I give in. And it's not that.
Okay.
It's a sacrifice.
Okay,
you know,
Andrew, go ahead.
You would be the brother that I would watch the most. I'm so serious. I hear somebody like Rhett Snapper say, yeah, you know, men cheat because blah, 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 boom, say boom, and I'll be like, okay, so I know what I got. But then I get with a brother like you and I say, you know what, let me watch this sucker close. I'm serious. I really would, because in my mind it's like, because you know why?
Been raised to kind of like not trust anybody who believes in altruism.
Let me tell you why. Because the devil already know he got Red Snapper, so he ain't going to mess with him. But somebody like you who say, nah, you know, I was raised like this. And
damn, that's good to know, huh? The devil got my ass. No.
Yeah.
We've been through that. That's why he's a Red Snapper. You're not the Green Snapper.
Why are you surprised?
Damn.
No,
okay.
No, really, he gonna come after you because he gonna say, all right, he got morals, he got values or whatever. It's gonna be like Job with a devil told.
But I know
guy.
Where
she's
coming
like,
from with that.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
you
right.
Know what it is?
She is right.
It's
with
a lot
that.
Of indifference on my part because the thing is, people say, you know, Chris Rock basically said this: a man is faithful as his options. Given the opportunity, he will go out and find that other person that connects with them. I'm one of those people that I generally don't like people. So I'm not going out looking for anybody. You know, it's not an active pursuit of mine. I don't care. My indifference is who I am. You know, I've had women come up, like I've been in a relationship, I've had women come up to me and, you know, women try to seduce me, and it's just not who I am. To me, that's like a slap in the face of the woman I'm with.
Well, I'm getting entertained tonight, I tell you. Okay, go ahead. This
is
Word Sexy Radio. Go ahead.
I'm not saying I'm, you know, the perfect man, because there are other things that I fall very short of. You know, there are other parts of my personality that I really need to work on. But when it comes to relationships, to me, that's the easiest part of life, because you do, you know, it's not hard to do the things that are right. And, you know, people just want to make excuses and reasons as to why they can't do the right thing.
Let me say this. I think I'm going to kind of agree with what Andrea is saying about watching you or a person like you. It's because you're putting yourself out there in words by saying that you won't do something, which is going to be easier for you to be attempted to do, even though it's not in your well-being, it's not in your nature to do it, or you don't want to do it. But using the devil and using all that stuff, since you use those terminologies, I'm going to use this. You'll be the one that will be tempted to be used because you're the one that's saying you ain't going to do it. So he's going to work on you harder to make you do it instead of it being somebody that's already admitting that they're going to do it.
In the end,
he ain't worried about
you stronger. It's no different than the man who spends his entire life being with the same woman. You can't fool only wanting the same woman.
The flesh is weak, though. The flesh is weak.
But just because the devil will work on him doesn't mean that he'll win. He's already made up his mind that this is the person that he is.
It
reminds me of when I was younger, much, much, much younger, my grandmother took me to see a movie about drug abuse, and it really scarred me for life. I was like eight. I couldn't sleep with the lights off for like months. I was like scared of aspirin to this day. Yeah, to this day, I got to be, if I ask for a Tylenol, my friends be like, oh, do we need to go to the emergency room? Because it's serious. I don't even want prescription drugs. I hate medicine. But when I got to college, you know, everybody kept saying, oh, well, you'll try weed at least once, or you'll try this, or you'll try that, because you're saying you don't want to. But my conviction that drugs would lead me down a path I did not want to go down kept kept me through. I've been in the room in the middle of the circle with the puff puff pass, and I just pass. I don't puff. I know
okay.
how to roll.
Okay, Andrew, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Are you still talking?
I know how to roll. Yeah, I know how to roll it, but I've never tried an illegal drug ever.
But see, when
I agree with her.
I think Andrew was trying to. Yeah.
Everyone on planet Earth has a different conviction. You know, my thing is relationships. I will never step outside the boundaries. You know, hers is drugs.
Okay.
She will never step outside those boundaries. We all have,
okay.
you know, we all have our albatross, but we all have our convictions. And there's that
okay.
one thing that you say you will never do that you probably go your entire life without doing. Like you read, you may say, well, I never engage in sex with another man. Well, that is your conviction. You know what I'm saying?
God damn it. Boy, you is fucked up. Okay, Andrew, go ahead and say what you was going to say, because I ain't even going to entertain that. Okay, go ahead. You know that's your phobia. That's your damn phobia. How you going to put that shit on me? Anyway, keep playing around. That's right. Go ahead, baby. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's too funny. Oh,
he
want to
put a dick in my ass. Why you trying to put a dick in my ass? Anyway. Go ahead, Andrea, because you was trying to say something and you kept getting cut off. Go ahead.
He was trying to put the devil off on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, he gave you a new devil.
And then he's going to put the dick in my ass and my mouth. Oh, damn. Anyway.
Oh,
yuck. You had to take
No, I was just saying,
I agree with her.
You know, she's right. You know, everybody has their convictions, and I'm not saying that if we got together, that I know he would do it, but I would be watching because in my mind I'm thinking the devil gonna mess with him the most because he's standing out, you know, with his chest out like, no, I'm not gonna do it. This is me. This is, you know, and so because of like prime example,
yeah.
My ex-husband, I can't say if he cheated or not, but my ex-husband used to always say, I'll never tell you that I won't cheat. Don't even ask me that. He said, because I can say no right now, and I really do mean it right now. He said, but circumstances could change everything. And I always remembered when he said that because, first of all, every time a man opens his mouth, I eat it up like candy. I just take it in, and I stick it in the file cabinet somewhere and just, you know, hold on to it because men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And so I will never understand, you know, men and how they think. And that's part of what I was saying to Cotton was we never know, you know, how they think and how they feel. We just know how we feel. So it's kind of hard for us to take how we, you know, look at love and or versus being in love and then imposing it on them because from what I've seen from men, don't get me wrong, some of them we can relate to, you know, because I don't know if they're in touch with their feminine side or if it's just, this is just how, you know, men, this particular man is. But for the most part, talking about men in general, you know, I just found that some of them, like Red said, they can cheat and still love the woman that they have at home. They don't put the emotion in it. But when we do it, you know, I know, not saying me, like it's just me, we women, when we have sex with a person, we go all out. I mean, even if a woman is a slut, when she goes out, she goes all out. When a woman is just, you know, a freak with her husband or with her man or whatever, when she goes out, she goes all out. And it's not just physically, it's sometimes emotionally. That's why pimps know when they want to get a hooker, that's why they know they got to get to the woman's heart and her head. Because once you
exactly.
get the heart and you get the
oh,
head.
Oh, breaking.
Yeah.
Even in cheating, I agree with you, because even in cheating, when a woman does it, she's doing it for a reason. It's not just to be cheating
mm-hmm.
most of the
mm-hmm.
time. Most of the time, there's a motive behind it, why she is doing it. It's not just
mm-hmm.
because she just wants some different dick.
It's
most of the time, there's a reason behind
it,
or some revenge, or there's something.
Something.
You know?
It's a
so, yeah.
something
yeah.
Some kind of
yeah.
emotion.
Yeah,
yeah some
exactly.
kind of emotion. But
That's
with
absolutely.
Men, I don't see that with men. I had a guy that I worked
it's
with.
Not.
He was just a whore. And I would just see him when he came in. I don't know what it was about him, but I could always tell when he went and slept with somebody. He was just a maintenance man, but he lifted weights, and the women went bananas, white, black, Hispanic. And he would come in. He would just have this look, and I just would shake my head. I always knew, you know, and again, it meant nothing to him because he went home to his wife, and he was African, and he went home to his wife. He loved her and his kids, and it was just all about him and his family. But when he came to that building, he was everybody else's man, and it meant nothing
see,
to him.
That's
the maintenance
that's a cultural
man.
Identity.
Like,
really, because
the true
I work with a lot of people from Nigeria, a lot of people from actually, you know, the southern states of Africa, where, you know, they're allowed to have more than one wife. You know, so they see having one wife is, you know, just backwards.
But
like,
that's
what?
A wife,
one wife.
That's
what
a wife,
are you?
But this is just sleeping all around the place or whatever. And I wouldn't put it off on Sanders because he's African. I know a lot of Hispanic men. I know a lot of African-American men. I know a lot of white men, you know, because I worked in the corporate world. I just think that when it comes to, you know, sex, like Rev was saying, with women, men don't always get attached like that. They can just go, you know, stick and move. I really, but that's probably where the term came from the beginning.
Exactly.
And you know,
I would love to keep this going, but we got like 10 minutes left, and I want to give Andrea a chance to go ahead and tell everybody how they can get her books, the name of her books, and how, if they want to get her for a book sign or anything like that, how we can get that done. And then we're going to have to do this again next week, Cotton, because we didn't really get you like we wanted to, because you were, you know, you came in late and everything. So we got to get you, okay? But go ahead, Andrew. We want you to go ahead and
sure.
Tell everybody how to get your stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can learn more about me and my other books at my website, which is www.aroundthewaypublishing.com. I'm on Twitter as TClinton13. I'm on Facebook as author Andrea Clinton. I have a blog spot, which is Around the Way Publishing. I don't know. It's on the Blogger. What is that? Blogspot.com or something like that.
Blogspot.com.
Yeah, I could never remember that. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's it though.
And so that's it. But I do have some very short films up on YouTube. A documentary of my son doing martial arts. I have a short film up there. Two short films. I'm sorry. And a couple more are going to go up next year, and that is youtube.com/TEAClinton13. So
and you're on Twitter and all that, too. You tell them about Twitter and all that, right?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, TEAClinton13 on Twitter, and I'm always putting something up there. And I tell people all the time, I know the hood definition for schizo is different personalities, although we know it's really just multiple personalities, but I tell people all the time I'm schizo, so when you see me... 1 minute I'll be laughing, 3 minutes later I'll be cussing somebody out or saying something off the chain gang. So just be prepared to see me up there, different emotions or whatever.
All right,
it's
now
all,
Cotton,
it's all in comedy.
Cotton, we're gonna do this real quick. We got about 9 minutes. Now, you know we didn't get a chance to get to you like we wanted to. So, you know, I asked you all those because I was in joking and jest, but you are a very sensuous woman and all that. We know that. And we know you're very emotional when it comes to relationships. But we're going to have to get back to you next week. So we definitely want you to come back. And you're part of the panel anyway, so we got to get you where we'll be able to you know, get the full Cotton out, because we didn't get a chance to get it out because you started getting real, you know, because that thing is very instilled in you about that man fucking around on you shit. So we're going to have to... get more into that, tap into that shit, you know. But we want to do that. So does anybody else have any questions for her or for Andrea first, and then for Cotton before we prepare to move forward? Because we only got a few minutes left, which I thought was a great show.
Yeah, it was. I had fun. As always.
I had a question. If I can ask a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask Cotton because I didn't know much about your poems or anything. I was just kind of learning as I was listening. But I wanted to ask, like, what is your great inspiration? Because I'm sure you've written many a poem. What is your great inspiration to, like, really push out the theme of your poems or the voice of your poems?
Love.
Great question.
Love.
Love?
It's love.
Okay. Love
it's
in what sense?
The
lack
of.
That explains all what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to get in tap with you, baby, in tap with you, okay? We want to get deep into Miss Cotton. We want to dissect and find out what's going on with you, baby, because you ain't getting that love.
I don't just write sensual poems. I've written poems about me as a young girl. They're more personal. But nobody really ever hears that stuff because I never get an opportunity to really say that. I did a poem on here called
Okay,
Cry.
I'll tell you what.
Oh,
you have a poem right now?
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
You have a poem right now?
Oh,
we got 7 minutes. Give me a poem.
You don't,
I come ready.
Well, come on, baby. You always ready. Come on, baby.
Hold on. Give me a minute. So,
okay.
I'll do this one because I like this one. It's called Cry For Me.
Okay.
I wonder if he would ever cry for me. See, that's the ultimate compliment. I'm not looking for him to be a crier just to cry at the thought of losing me or never having me in his life, causing such a great emotion that there is nothing else left for him to do but to shed a tear of sadness and loss. I wonder if he remembers how I embrace and put my lips up on his face. He quivers when I take the time to share in his space. I know he wishes that I could do it over and over and over. See, I don't need him to cry because he got caught, cry before the loss or before thought of doing anything that would ever cause him to lose something so sweet. Just the mere thought of him losing me should make him take two steps back and remember our love and how it's meant to be. See, you and me and she make three, and I don't get down like that. I need him to share the tear of joy, not just because of the sexual joy, but because he enjoys the woman in me. Flowers are sweet, and oh, I love when he invites me to grab a bite to eat. See, that's just sweet. He would do that for anyone. I need him to cry at the thought of spending the rest of his life with me wrapped in his arms because I love his charms and his sexy ways. He sheds a tear when he's on one knee wanting me to hear that he's about to pop the question. Listen, ladies. This is a life lesson and a beautiful blessing. See, only a real man can stand and share the tear of joy, not treating you like you're his toy, but his prized possession, his queen, his treasure unseen. See, this is the thing. He's strong when you need him to be. I wonder if he would ever cry for me. That's the ultimate compliment.
Mm. Are we supposed to snap now, baby?
Yeah, you should.
That was hot, baby. That was hot. Okay. Well, I tell you what, Cotton has, you have 7 books, Cotton?
I have 7 poetry books out?
I have
5 and 6 is on January 3rd.
Okay. And how can people get it? Hurry up, because we've got about 5 minutes.
www.softspokenpoet.com, or you can go to Amazon and type in keyword Cotton with a K, K-O-T-T-Y-N.
And Carmen, we know you got some stuff going on. What's going on with you real quick, baby?
Oh, my goodness, what's not? Again, I want to say thank you for all the support that I've gotten from black women about my hair care product.
Did you say switching up? Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead. How am I switching up?
So, stop it. I'm going to get this message out.
Okay.
I promised myself when I first started Deeply Rooted Beauty that once I made back the money that I put into it, that the next step would be that a portion of the profits would go to research for lupus, because so many women with lupus have reached out to me to get these hair products. And so we reached that goal starting in January. 15% of everything sold by Deeply Rooted Beauty will now be going to, I'm looking at 2 organizations. One is, you know, it's the thing nobody wants to talk about. Lupus hits black women the hardest. We are the most affected by it. And then the next group is white men. But it amazes me that most of the research money and funds go to white men. And they are the second largest group, but we are like 60% and they are like 15. So there's still a huge discrepancy. But it seems like no one, I don't know why I'm surprised, but apparently no one seems to care about us. So I want to be sure that when I give your money back, I'm giving it to a program that's giving out money.
Right. Well, you know, I hate to cut this off because that's such a great subject. Even though it's, you know, and I'm sorry that it hits our women the most. But I just want to thank Miss Andrea Clinton for coming on the show and everybody that's sitting here tonight. Carmen Jones, thank you for coming on. And Miss Cotton, I thank you as well. And CV, you know, I care about you, brother.
Yeah, you
we just
want
to get all y'all to come back, you know what I'm saying? And we'll do it again. But I'm going to have to let it go right now because we ain't got but a few seconds or so. But we thank y'all, and you will
get
a copy of
thank
this
you.
Show.
Thank you, Paul.
Ladies, have a good night.
All right.
All right, good night. No problem. Thank you, Alexis.